for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, May the 22nd, 2009. Nathan Hobson is the speaker of this service, teaching on What Hinders God's Healing Power.
Brother Hobson is ministering this morning. I hope you remembered that. I told you that last night. Did you remember? Oh, you did. Good. We'd be in trouble if you didn't. But I appreciate Brother Hobson coming over. And I appreciate ministries like that. He called me and told me he was coming. I guess he talked to Patty, actually. But I appreciate that. And of course, these two girls down here, if they didn't show up, I'd send a posse out to look for them. Oh, anyway, it's a blessing to have all these ministries that are able to minister and bring the word of the Lord.
You know, the problem I have coming here to speak, I feel like a lion in a den full of Daniels. All these good preachers around here, I tell you. I told Patty, I said, I'm coming. I'm not coming necessarily to minister. I'm just coming. And I just wanted to come this time. So, anyway, I want to share with you this morning some of the hindrances we have to healing. How many of you have been prayed for, but you didn't get healed? Me too. Many of us. How many of you prayed for and they didn't get healed? That's been on my heart for quite some time. And what really got me really stirred up about it was about sometime last year, I was up in Nebraska at a church. And the last night of the meeting, I noticed I was sitting right here where these young ladies are sitting. And I just glanced out of the corner of my eye, and I saw this young man coming to the front. And he was dragging his left leg, had this arm held like this, and his neck was over like this. And I thought, you know, that's not good. So at the end of the service, he came up for prayer. When he got up there, he looked so bad, I just told him to sit down right here. And just as soon as he sat down, the Lord said, now tell him to stand up. And he stood up. And I said, now do something you couldn't do before. I never did pray or anything. He stood up. I said, do something you couldn't do before. He said, I am. I'm standing straight. Right. Now, I wish that that was the end of the story. But the key to his coming and the key to his healing was that he came to church. He said, that's the only night he came. He said, I just knew I had to come to church tonight. In other words, he came in expectation. He came in anticipation. Now, it's been said for a long, long time, if you go anywhere without expectation, you're going to get exactly what you expect. In other words, if you don't expect anything, don't go home disappointed because you didn't come. How come that you can come to church and be sitting next to a person, and that person's just all excited, and they really receive a blessing from God, and you sit there like a bump on a stump? It's because you didn't expect anything. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about some things of that nature. But here's the end of that story. I was up there again about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and he wasn't in the service. And I asked about him. And they said, oh, about 2 months, 3 months after he was healed, he went back into the world.
Oh God.
And now he's in worse shape than he was before. And that's Bible.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen, brother.
a lot of people don't get their healing or they don't keep their healing because of wrong expectations, of wanting to get fixed so they could go out and go back to their old way of life. Well, Lord fixed me up 3 times. First time I didn't get the lesson very good. The second time I did, and the third time I did. And the second time I said, I'll never go back. And the third time I said, I'm not going to go back, and I'm going to correct what is wrong that caused it to happen this time. Yes. Healing is your inheritance in Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We, at Deliverance Camp, we talk a lot about, in my name they shall cast out demons. But the last sentence in that great commission is, and they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Yes. Not they might, not they could, but they shall recover.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm ready to look for the shall recover.
Amen.
I'm ready to look for something that's dynamic, something, signs and wonders that will draw the attention of people to Jesus Christ. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed. Cast out demons and healed. And you'll notice in the scripture it always says cast out demons and healed.
Yes. We're about doing good.
Amen. And the other thing about that, I've come to, I don't know whether I shared this, any of this with you the last time I was here, but I've come to realize that when people come up and they want prayer, there are 2 or 3 things that we have to do if we expect to see anything. Now, somebody won't like what I'm about to say, I can tell you that. Because, you see, in James 5:14 and following, it kind of adds a footnote there, and if they have committed sins, it shall be forgiven them. We don't always deal with the sin question when people come up for prayer.
That's true.
And if they're living in sin and they're not willing to repent of the sin, I don't think they're going to get healed. And a lot of people come up for prayer with a hope-so and not a no-so. By your faith be it unto you,
yes,
the Lord said.
Yes.
Well, I'll get back here to my notes and get straightened out here. I carry notes because if I don't, I'll go off on a tangent. As my wife says, I'll chase rabbits. But that's all right. Now, there are enough promises in the Scripture to sustain the concept and or truth of divine healing. This healing is supernatural in every aspect. Sometimes it's supernaturally natural. In other words, when I fell off that barn the second time that God took me through an ordeal, I nearly cut this arm off, cut it from right here all the way around to here, cut all the ligaments, arteries, and everything. But it didn't bleed to death. But I didn't get any transfusions either.
Right.
Took the doctor 3.5 hours to sew that up. You can still see the stitches. That's been 1971. By the way, I hit the ground and broke my foot, too. I had my right foot, Brother Bill, was flat till I broke it. I don't have flat foot anymore. I enlisted in the service 7 times, got drafted once, and got turned to, this was back in the days, if you had a flat foot, they wouldn't take you. Flat foot! It's not flat anymore. See, all things do work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Anyway, see, I chased a rabbit then. But that's my way of saying that healing is not always in the miraculous realm, yet it's miraculous. Anytime we're healed of anything, it is a miracle. Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. It's not always instantaneous. You were talking about Mexico at the breakfast table this morning. We were down in Tampacan. You know where that is? San Luis Potosi?
Yes,
down right next to Thomas and Charlie.
Yeah. San Luis Potosi.
Yeah. Thomas and Charlie is the way you say Tom and Zan Charlie. But anyway, we had just finished the afternoon session, and this little Indian, Huastec Indian, came in, and he didn't speak Spanish either. His jaw was out about like that. Infected teeth. And he came in there asking where the dentist was in that community. Well, the local pastor, Marcelo, is a Huastec Indian, and he speaks Huasteci and Spanish. So he interpreted to Spanish to Tom, and Tom then interpreted it to us that he wanted to know. But anyway, long story short, We just gathered around and laid hands on him, and right before our eyes, that swelling left.
They don't have Blue Cross and Blue
Shield. No, they don't. What was it old Albert P. Willis used to say? I traded the Blue Cross and Blue Shield for the old rugged cross.
Amen.
Well, praise God. Well, the question is then, is what stops or hinders the flow of God's healing power? Now, I kind of got my teaching robe on this morning, not the real preaching robe. I've done about all the preaching I'm going to do already. I'm going to teach now, okay? Now, what is the significance of miracles of healing? Why do some receive instantaneous results and others do not? Is God a respecter of persons? The Bible says He's not. He is not a respecter of persons. Why do some receive instantaneous results and others do not? Do we see failure in the healing power of God when God doesn't do it the way we think He should? Do we question God? Say, why? Or do you distrust? You can question or you can trust. And when you trust, you don't have to ask any questions. Because God is God and He's God all by Himself.
Amen.
He's God and you're not.
Amen.
You may try to be, but you're not. And He's still sovereign. He's still supreme. And He commissions us, the believers, to do the work of the ministry.
Amen.
You see, it's not up to all the preachers to do all the ministry. He didn't say, these signs shall follow those believing preachers. He said, these signs shall follow the believers. And if you're a believer, everything in the following of that passage, you have been commissioned to do it. Isn't that simple?
Yes.
See, we just get this thing so complicated sometimes that we don't understand that God just wants us to go about doing good like Jesus did. Whether you say everybody you pray for get healed, no. But I will say this, as far as I'm concerned, when I pray for them, you're healed. If I pray for you, you're healed as far as I'm concerned. I'm not going to let my faith waver when I pray for you. And I'll tell you a story about that maybe before we're through here this morning. Well, I'll just tell it right now. It's a good story. Okay? I had a salesman. He was Church of Christ elder that used to call on me when I was in my secular career. And he came in one day right at 5 o'clock, and I could tell he was very disturbed. He didn't want to, you know, being Church of Christ, I grew up Church of Christ, so I can talk about it. He didn't want to discuss anything that I was believing at the time, which was the full gospel and all that. But he came in that day, and he sat down across from my desk, and he was terribly distraught. And I said, man, what's wrong with you? He said, well, he said, I was up nearly all night. He said, our little neighbor boy, 5 years old, tried to cross 50th Street in Lubbock, which was at that time was one of the main east-west thoroughfares. I mean, six-lane road. And he said he got hit by a car. He's in a coma. Brain injuries, and they say the doctors are saying that if he lives, he'll just be a vegetable. I said, let's pray. He said, well, we prayed. I said, no, let's pray. And I just dropped on my knees and prayed a very simple prayer. God just healed that little boy. Now, here's why I learned it is my faith is involved in this. The next morning, I went for coffee, Brother Glenn. On the table where I sat down was the newspaper from Lubbock. In the news, I think you've heard this story before. In the newspaper was open to the obituaries. My eyes were drawn to the obituaries, and I looked to see if there's a little five-year-old boy there. I didn't know his name. Still to this day, don't know his name. It wasn't there. The next morning, I go to the coffee shop. I stop at the paper machine and get a paper and go in and don't look at anything but the obituaries. He's still not there. The third morning, I stopped at the paper machine, and God spoke to me just as plain. He said, I thought you prayed in faith. I said, oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me for doubting. Forgive me for looking. I went in and sat down, had my coffee, never gave it another thought till about 2 years later. I didn't see that salesman again. He came in. I had moved to another city. I was in public works. And the secretary up front called, and she said, there's a gentleman here to see you, a couple of gentlemen. So I went up front, and sure enough, I knew his name, but I didn't recognize the man. And he come up there grinning just real big and stuck out his hand and just shook his hand. And the first thing he said, "You remember that little boy?" Because as soon as he told me his name, I remembered the whole story, see. I said, "Yes." He said, "I've got to tell you what happened." He said, "The first day, nothing changed. The second day, nothing changed." And he said, "The third day, about, glory to God, about 10 o'clock in the morning, he woke up." He said, "I went to watch him play Little League Baseball last night." But that's proof positive of our faith as we minister to other people, that we have to believe. We can't just, you know. So in other words, when you pray for somebody, pray for them for healing. Brother, be healed. Now, you feeling better?
Yes, sir.
But if you wait to see, John Osteen put it this way. He said, "Signs shall follow them that believe." He said, if you take your little dog for a walk and you go down and sit out on the front porch and go out, I mean, you sit down on the front porch and say, "Come on, doggy, we're going for a walk." But if you just keep sitting there, that little dog can't follow you. You got to pray and go on, pray and go on, pray and go on, pray and go on. But pray in faith, believing.
Amen. Amen.
Well, glory to God. Whew. Let me get with the program here. I wish I had all the answers, but I don't. But I do have some observations to share with you about some of the reasons we are not healed or that healing is hindered and from being realized. Now, the number one is this. Everybody say number one. The abuse of our bodies. The abuse of our bodies. In other words, if you got lung or heart problems and keep sucking on that stinking cigarette, don't expect to get healed.
Amen.
Or if you just can't eat just one slice of that apple pie, but you got to eat half of it with ice cream. Hello! Glenn and I quit preaching and started meddling, didn't I? And I love apple pie. My wife makes the best apple pies. You know, that's one thing. She cooks better than my mother's, her apple pie. You know how all us boys are about mama's cooking. What about stress and anxiety? You know, those things cause heart and stomach problems. I heard Drummond Tom. Anybody here ever heard of Drummond Tom? Probably not. He's a pastor back in Kentucky somewhere now. Has been for about 40 years. But he was South African. Had that brogue, you know. I went to Lubbock to hear him in a hotel when he first came to the state. And he made one statement that I've never forgotten, and I tell this nearly everywhere I go when I talk about worry or stress or anxiety. This is what he said.
If you worry, you die.
If you don't worry, you still die. So why worry? Isn't that simple? That's the simplest thing in the world. I took that to heart because I was raised by a mother that was a worrier's worrier. I mean, really, and I kind of got part of that spirit. But I took that to heart, and I've lived by that. No point in worrying. Huh? Yeah, he did. Drummond Tom. T-H-O-M. Drummond Tom. Overwork physically can tear down our muscle and bone structure. Now, before I went into public works and got an office job, I was a water well driller. Doc and I used to have some wonderful conversations about drilling water wells. But out in West Texas, we have a lot of irrigation wells that are, you know, they have, the pump is either 4, 6, or 8 inch, sometimes 10 inch pipe. And when you pull one of those pumps that's been in the ground for a long time, you take a hammer and you hold one big sledgehammer against one side of that collar and you take another one and just beat the tar out of it and try to break that rust loose so you can put a chain tong with a cheater about 5 foot long on it and unscrew that pipe. My shoulders are shot from doing that and a lot of other hard work that I didn't have sense enough to do. Brother, I used to carry cement out of a boxcar. I ran a dray service for a while. 2 of those 70-pound cement bags at a time.
No.
I can't even pick up one of them now. But what I'm saying is I abused my body. And if you've abused your body, you need to start taking care of it.
Amen.
You really do. Not enough rest or sleep. See, if you get rid of the worrying, you'll sleep better too. Amen?
Yes.
Now, are we foolish enough to think that God will deliver us and or heal us time and time again if we continue to do the things that brought us down to begin with?
Oh, God,
yeah. I don't think so.
No, God.
I don't think so. Well, number two. Everybody say number two.
Number two.
Living in unbelief. You see, the miracle healings in the Bible were often results of the faith of the person with the need. Jesus, do you believe that, told the blind men, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith, let it be unto you. Matthew 29:28-29. Now, in the church today, and when I say the church, I'm talking about the churchianity or whatever you want to call it in America, which is not a whole lot of them are real churches. Hello. When we have people coming out of seminaries who don't believe anything anymore and will come out and they have some natural, secular, intellectual answer for everything, the question that you have, the only problem with those secular, intellectual answers, they never do get much done. They never really accomplish very much. Now, Jim and I had a big discussion this morning, Brother Landry and I, about education. I'm not opposed to education, except these liberal seminaries that do their best. Well, I can tell you about one seminary in Texas that even had a practicing Mormon teaching Greek, probably so. I can remember when Baptists preached against Freemasonry back in the 40s. Now that most Baptist preachers are Freemasons now.
Oh, God.
Another one in Texas. Well, the other one is a seminary. The other one was a college. Baylor is where it was. Other one had an Orthodox Jew teaching Hebrew. And while he was there, the first two or three years he was there, he led about five of the students into Judaism. And the Baptist, and I got ordained to preach in a Baptist church, or licensed to preach, and the Baptists say, we are people of the book, but they limit the part of the book there. But this, and the Baptists are still relatively, you know, they don't believe in what we believe in, and the spirit-filled life and all of that, and tongues and miracles and healing and all that, but still, is in some of the basic tenets, they're still a little bit more correct, I guess you would say, than a lot of the others. They're not ordaining homosexuals. Just to give you an example of that. I was raised in the Church of Christ Christian Church, and the minister at our Christian church was there 26 years. His wife died, and the next thing he started doing was go to the gay bars in Amarillo, Texas.
Oh, God.
His daughter graduated from Hereford High School with the TCU and Bratt Divinity School and was ordained a minister in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, and she is a practicing lesbian. Now, how can they come out of an institution that's supposed to teach the Bible and the Word of God and do things like that unless they are brainwashed while they are there?
That's it, brother.
That's enough said about that subject. We're talking about healing, but the people like that need healing, all right? Okay. In the church today, the doctrine of miracles has been dismissed and unbelief has been sown into the heart of God's people. And it's so hard to overcome negative teaching. But I want to chase another rabbit, if I may. It's just as hard for you to overcome negative speaking. Let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasant or pleasing in thy sight, O Lord. Quit claiming you got something. Because right here, right out of your mouth, will dictate where you will be 3 to 5 years from now. You can confess yourself into being good or bad, whichever you want.
Yes, sir.
Successful or unsuccessful. It's so imperative that we learn to control this thing that's called the tongue.
Amen.
and how we speak and what we speak and what we say. How many parents? Thank God I had good parents. They never did do this to me. I'm not saying I didn't do it a time or two to my kids. But how many parents speak to the kids, "Well, you little dummy"? My number four daughter, we raised five girls. The fifth one was our granddaughter. But my number four daughter, when she was about like this, I'd come in from work every day and she'd run in, jump up my lap, and I'd give her a little hug and everything. And somewhere down the way I picked up a nickname. "How's my little dummy today?" I didn't know what I know now. I was dumb. I was a dumb one there. Okay. But anyway, I did that one day, and she jumped off and run off to play. And about that time, it was just like the Lord slapped me like that. He said, "Do you know what you're doing?" I said, "What?" He said, "You're speaking a curse into her life, and she'll grow up believing because she's never will be able to accomplish anything." I called Christy back in there. I got her up my lap, and I said, "Honey, I want you to forgive me." "What for, Daddy?" You know. I said, "Because I've been calling you my little dummy, and you're not a dummy. You're a precious little girl, brilliant and smart. And if I ever call you that again, I want you to crawl right up my lap, put your finger on my nose, and say, 'Daddy, you're not supposed to do that.'" And from that point on, I tried to speak life and not death. Success and not failure into my kids' lives. Now, all this has something to do with healing, because if we confess that by His stripes we're healed, if we confess the Word of God, Himself took all of our infirmities and all of that, and we believe that, then we're on the road to wellness. Amen? You see, Mark 9:23 says that if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So we have to come to the place that we believe what God says about these things. Speak positive. Don't speak negative. You know, I know at one time I really probably thought like I had been assigned as the sheriff of the gospel sheriff or something. I was supposed to correct everybody. Well, I tell you, that's rooted in rejection. Because you try to put yourself up to a place that you can look at other people, look down on them. Hello. Any of that behavior is the root. Study Doc's chart. It comes from the root of rejection. And people who are rejected are much more susceptible to all kinds of illnesses. Because they are so hurt inside that they don't have the ability to stand. And when having done all, to stand. Is this making sense? Or am I just rattling my head up here?
No, it's good.
Now, I believe that if we learn to speak correctly, we'll learn to be more successful in what we do. Now, number three, everybody say number three.
Number three.
Is refusing to relinquish our sins. Now, 1 John 1:8-9 says, "If we say we do not sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, that wouldn't be in there if we Christians couldn't sin. We all, unknowingly, inadvertently, sometimes deliberately, commit sins. In other words, if you leave church next Sunday morning and go home and have roast preacher for dinner, you just sin. Because you were touching God's anointing, for example. You cannot continue to sin and expect God to do a whole lot for you. Some people think, you know, that God will overlook their sin. Not going to happen. Oh, He may let you get by with it for a while, but He's going to bring you up short somewhere. You see, when we're convicted of a sin, we refuse to repent or quit that sin. Then we are in rebellion. And what does rebellion beget?
Witchcraft.
What does witchcraft beget? Stubbornness and idolatry. Sin, if you don't remember anything I say today, remember this. Sin always begets more sin. You cannot hold on to a little private sin, because sooner or later you're going to have to lie about that sin or something else. And sin always begets sin. And if you refuse to repent of it, then you enter into rebellion. And rebellion, as we've already said, is as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as idolatry and iniquity. Well, what does stubbornness mean? It means you set yourself up as an idol that you're bigger than God. That's the idolatry that goes along with that. That you know better what's better for you than God does. Not going to happen. Won't happen. Out of our sins, and really, as I've already said, and I won't go into that anymore, but rejection is the number one problem that every human being has to deal with at some point in time. But out of rejection comes not only the sin of rejecting and the rejecting others to make yourself feel better about yourself. If I can put you down, then that lifts me up. Hello? But out of that, there's a whole family of sins that come forth, and unforgiveness is the number one that is easily identifiable. Unforgiveness. Do you know that in God's economy, you have no right or authority at all to hold unforgiveness against anybody, and I don't care what they did to you? Example, had a young lady came to the church one time. She'd gone to every church in town, I found out later, and walked the aisle two or three times to get saved and never could get any peace. She came to our church about three times that way. One Sunday morning, one Sunday night, and I think the next Sunday morning. I said, I think you and I need to talk. Here was her story. When she was 10 years old, her mom and dad divorced, and there was a custody battle. The dad won. He remarried. Took her home with him. His new wife brought her father into the home, and he began just instantly to sexually abuse her. When she finally got enough nerve, when she was about 12 years old, to tell her dad, he kicked her out of the house. Rejected by her mother, rejected by her dad, rejected by everybody. And she had a good, you know what I wanted to do? I had to repent. Because if I'd have found that grandpa anytime soon, I'd have done something drastic, probably. I was so angry over that. I had to repent.
Sure.
But I told her, and I led her through Matthew 18:18-32, is a classic place, the unjust steward, to really show people the effects of what happens. Because when the guy would not forgive his brother, he was delivered over to the tormentors so he should pay all that's due. Okay? And I showed her that, and she forgave her father, that old grandfather, step-grandfather, her mother, everybody involved. Now, she had gotten married, but her marriage wasn't doing real good. I never saw her again after the day I took her through that, took her through deliverance for that, until about a year later. And I moved to Pampa, where I live now, Pampa, Texas. And Janie was still down in Sweetwater, so I'm doing laundry. I learned to be a pretty good house husband. All this. And I'm in the laundromat, and I see this girl, and she's looking at me. And I didn't recognize her. Her whole countenance had changed much, but it was that girl. And her life was this. She said, life is wonderful. She says, I'm free of all that junk and everything else. But just forgiving set her on the path to freedom. So if you've got unforgiveness in your heart and you refuse to forgive, then you've added what? Rebellion. See how sin begets sin? It just goes on. Then you've added bitterness, resentment, all these different things that we know about. Anger. Had a couple come to the house the other day. They came over from Amarillo, and he wanted deliverance. She didn't, but he did. So I left her in the house with Janie, and I took him out to my office. And I heard back from his uncle later that it was very worthwhile for him. But he had so much anger. Had a lot of other junk, too. But anger was one of them. I could identify with that because I used to be angry. As a young man, I was angry. Hatred. Hatred. You know, I can say this honestly. I never had any problem. I love to go to a black church, Brother James, Brother Landry, and tell them I'm prejudiced about one thing. I'm prejudiced about prejudice. Anybody that's prejudiced, I'm prejudiced against them. But I have no problem. I grew up with Hispanics and Amen. Have wonderful friends and
yes.
all the different races and everything.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with that.
No.
Never hated anybody. Got the tar beat out of me when I was about 12 years old and didn't even hate the guy that did it. I just never had that problem. But a lot of people do. A lot of people have been hurt, abandoned. Probably somebody in this room, you were abandoned by a parent or somebody, a spouse or something like that. Left without anything. And it's real easy to get a big case of hatred against those who have hurt you that way. But just like that little girl, when she saw that that was killing her, she couldn't even have peace about accepting God, accepting the Lord, until she forgave. And I never saw her again after that. But I just praise God that He let me see her.
Amen.
And see and hear her testimony about it.
Restored.
Well, praise the Lord. All sorts of emotions like bitterness, resentment, anger, hatred, and all those things. Low self-esteem, all of those things. You see, when you've got a bunch of that junk in you, it's hard to get healed of physical things until you get healed of the spiritual things. One of the things that we do in our ministry now when we travel, and we usually one night in a meeting, we'll have one night set aside for healing. And one of the things that I do is I explain very carefully that if you want to be healed, you've got to face these issues that we've been talking about. You've got to face the issues. And those that want to be healed, I always invite them to the front. Probably do that here in a few minutes. And if you want to be healed, the first thing I tell them, that I'll tell you, is this. If you desire to be healed, the first thing you must do is to be sure that you have confessed all known sin and unknown sin. Sins that you don't even really know or don't remember that you committed. You confess those. Repent of them. The ones you know about, repent. Now, what does repent mean? To feel sorry for? That's what most people think. But it means a 180-degree turn. In other words, you turn from the direction you're going, following after Satan and his economy, and you turn and go toward God and his economy. That's what repentance is. Now, let me give you a biblical example. Two men in the Bible. Both of them committed the same type of three sins. One of them was sorry he got caught. You know who I'm talking about already, don't you? The other one was sorry for what he was. He repented of what he was. Now, those two men were Saul, King Saul, and King David. Saul never repented. He just was sorry he got caught. And we see that time and time again in the church when we're dealing with someone who's caught up in sin and you expose their sin. I had a pedophile in the church one time. And when he was exposed, and I took him in my office and I made him tell me the truth and offered him a plan of restoration, which he refused to take. But he was just sorry he got caught. He wasn't ready to repent and go the other way. Well, he ended up for us all over with in prison. Now, when we repent, that means we lay down, set aside, get rid of. I was in a meeting recently. I wasn't ministering there, but I was there. And the minister gave an invitation. Next thing you know, there was people going up putting their cigarettes and lighters and everything else up on the altar. And I know that couple. They had been struggling with that for a long time, but they both decided, today is the day. I'm going to repent of that nasty habit. Now, I can tell you all about nasty habits. I did everything but snuff. I never did do that. That's the nastiest thing in the world. I just have to chase a rabbit every once in a while. I had this guy in the church, he and his wife's having trouble. He always had that big wad under his lip, you know. He says, well, she don't want to kiss me anymore. And I said, well, have you ever tried kissing that spit cup? Yeah. I said, that's what you're asking her to do. You just might as well stick that over there and say, here, kiss this.
Thank God for the truth.
He got mad. He didn't. He's still doing snuff as far as I know. She finally divorced him. As hard as I tried to keep them together. Well, we're still refusing to relinquish our sins. Unlawful lust and imaginations. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands, thankfully. But how many can't keep from turning over to HBO and buying some of those X-rated movies? How many get on the internet and the pornography? And I'm finding out that a lot of women do that, too. It's not just men. It's a lot of women are doing that. You're into something like that, and then you get some kind of physical ailment, and you think, well, I'll go to church and I'll get them to pray for me. Well, you better repent of the sin first. So when I bring people up to the front and I say, now, I don't want to hear a word, you can do it under your breath, but I want you to repent of every sin in your life. And if you're not willing to repent, you might as well go back and sit down. Say, man, you're hard. No, I'm just tired of seeing people go through the motions and not get anything done. I was at the church I just left before I came up to camp meeting. This small church. A lady came up. Or several came up, but this one lady, she sat down right here on the front. She was kind of having problems. She had had infection in her sinuses for quite some period of time. And I explained it all about repenting and all that, just like I've been doing here. And the other thing I do, I also cast out any spirit of infirmity when I pray for people to be healed. It's like Brother Frank said, if it ain't there, it can't come out. But anyway, I prayed for it, just laid my hands. Well, I didn't, she got up and went home. But the next day she called the pastor. And she said, I got out of bed this morning. And she said, I began to cough. She had bronchitis real bad, too. She said, I coughed up a cup full of junk out of my mouth. And then she said, my sinuses start running. She said, my head's clear. The sinuses are clear. My bronchial tubes are clear. It works. That's all I'm saying. It works.
Amen.
When you lead people into repentance from sin and they confess their sins and are forgiven of their sins, then they're much more easily able to receive healing. Fantasizing about sex, which is sin. Covetousness. My wife loves to watch these housing remake shows. I tell her, I said, don't you start getting covetous for that stuff now. But a lot of people, see, they'll watch those kind of shows and they'll go out and go deeply in depth to try to live like the Joneses. Well, only Joneses I ever knew didn't live much better than I did. So I didn't figure there's any use trying to keep up with them. Lying and cheating and all of that. Now, this is kind of nitpicky. But when you're at work, how many of those pens do you carry home with you? Hello? You say, well, that's nitpicky. No. It's stealing. What about paper clips? You say, boy, you really get nitpicky now. No. We have to come to the place where if it belongs to somebody else, it belongs to them and not to us.
Amen.
And we need to begin to train our children and everybody else that things that belong to your employer belong to your employer. You let him keep them. You spend more money on junk than what a little cheap pen had cost anyway. Hello. Some of you don't need to drink as many of them big Diet Cokes or anything. I'm still meddling, ain't I? Well, that's all right. Well, we've all read and heard testimonies of those who dealt with these types of things in their lives. But when they dealt with them, they received their deliverance and their healings. And 1 John 1:8-9 is God's remedy for us to get rid of the sins. 1 John 1, I always quote this in the first person. If I say I do not sin, I lie, and the truth is not in me. But if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Well, you know what happens when you're cleansed from all unrighteousness? Man, you're just as shiny as a new creation. God's glory. God's wonder. God's grace. God's love. Amen. Ah, praise the Lord. Now, this hadn't been a very complete doctrinal study on healing and deliverance, and I sure don't have all the answers to your questions. But between Jerry and Brother Bill, they can answer all your questions. But the one thing I do wish to elaborate on is the fact that Christians, as a rule, do not believe the Word of God. Unbelief. We covered that a little bit a while ago, but it's unbelief that stops most of our receiving what God has for us. We come with a hope-so and not a no-so. When you have a hope-so, what you're doing is doubting God's ability to fulfill His Word.
Amen.
It's just that simple. See, the older I get, and I'm older than you are, Brother Bill. Well, I'm going to be in a few years.
I'm getting younger. I'm just 39 old.
Well, I've heard you say that. That's why I said I'm older than you are. But the more I stay in the ministry, the more I do, the more I travel, the more I see, the more things I do, the more I hear, the more I teach you, the more I'm learning. And I found out something. The more I learn, the less I know. Because I tell you, 30 years ago, I could answer any question anybody in this room had. Now I still can. I still can. I don't know. But I'm learning that we have gotten things complicated. And the whole thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have complicated it. And part of that, and I'll just say this, part of that goes back to this fear of rejection. We've got to have a new revelation. We've got to have a new rhema word. What's the matter with all that good old word we had? Nothing wrong with that. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have new revelations in the Word of God and all that. That's not what I'm getting at. But I'm getting at the point to when ministers and teachers, whether Sunday school or whatever, are just in a prayer meeting at a home, when they think that every time they get before a group of people, they've got to have a new revelation of something. You're not living in a revelation you already got. Why get a new one?
Amen. Amen. Good.
Most of us know more Bible than we practice anyway. Now, I never did read my text, so I'm going to read it now that I'm done. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. When the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, he's saying in effect, self, you bless the Lord. One of the newer translations says it that way, something like that. I think it's a New Living Translation says it like that. I say to myself, bless the Lord. Bless His holy name.
Yes, sir.
Who healeth all thy diseases.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 76 going on 77 pretty quick. And I'm going to be preaching when I'm still in my 90s like Brother Glenn.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I confess that. So anyway, is anybody here that you think you need healing? Well, let me put it, is anybody here after I hit on sin so hard, are you willing to stand up and say you need healing? If you are, come up here. We're not going to keep you long. We're not going to pray. We're not even going to pray for you individually. We're going to pray corporately for those that want healing. Okay? Just line up across here. Just face me. Just face me. I'm going to lead you in this little prayer. And then I'm going to be quiet. And you confess your sins.
No, there's more.
Well, I've been doing it for quite a while myself. Okay. Everybody picks on me. You know what? Everybody picks on me. I feel like Rodney sometimes. Now, if you're old enough to remember, Rodney was... Well, never mind. Say this with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus,
whom I serve,
who is my Lord,
I
come to you
in
His name
to receive
from you, Father God,
the blessings
that you have for me.
And
now,
I confess
and repent of
all sin
in my life
and in my body.
Now take time and confess them. You just do it right where you're standing, under your breath. I'll give you a couple of minutes. When you're finished, you can look at me and we'll continue. I want you to say this now. Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Father,
for forgiving me,
cleansing me
of all unrighteousness.
Now then, Father God,
in the name of Jesus,
I renounce
all sin
that I've dealt with.
I have repented of it.
And now,
I take authority and dominion
over every unclean spirit,
every spirit of infirmity
that's attached itself to me.
I renounce you,
you spirit of infirmity.
I command you
to leave
me,
right now,
in the name of Jesus.
Now take a big, deep breath and blow it out.
You may have to take two or three. That's all right if you need to.
Cough, whatever. Whatever you need.
Good.
Anybody else need a towel?
Say this.
Now.
Because.
I believe your word.
You said,
if I confess and repent,
I'll have
the freedom
promised in your word.
I accept that freedom,
and I shall go forth
in the name of Jesus
as more than a conqueror
through Jesus Christ,
who strengthens me.
Now I want you to say whatever it is you need to be healed of. I want you to speak it right out.
Now, Father, you've heard these confessions, that this illness that these dear precious people are dealing with. And in the name of Jesus, I speak healing,
the healing virtue, the divine flow of Jesus' love and healing, virtue and grace and mercy and power into every person in this line right now. Everyone.
Power.
Virtue, grace, mercy, love.
I ask you to baptize everybody in this line with love right now.
I just sense that somebody in this line has had problem loving people.
You're going to
be surprised at how your response comes to different ones.
Let's just wait just a minute now.
Jane, would you go to the piano, please?
I just feel like we need to do that little chorus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
I don't sing, so you'll have to.
That's one bad confession I'll make, but it's the truth.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I have a victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. When we pray in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before us in the mighty name.
Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, touch my sister. Touch her heart.
Please
give her that victory. She prays so much right now.
In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Look to somebody. Look at somebody and say, I got the victory.
I've got the victory.
I've got the victory. We've all got the victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray, and then we're going to just pray for the meal while we're here, and we'll be ready to serve here in just a few minutes. If you need individual prayer, just hang around up here for a few minutes. And some of us will be praying with you. Okay? Praise the Lord. I just want to show you, I'm going to tell one more story, Walters. Angie and I have a mutual friend. I just met Angie this morning, named Walter. You know probably Walter Gaddy, you probably know him. He comes here some. Walter has had prostate problems for quite some time. His PSA had gotten up to 33, and he was trying natural means and stuff like that and everything. Got down to 31. But about three or four weeks ago now on a Thursday, he just got down, Brother Jim, and he said, God, I've got to have hope. I mean, with 33, you know, it's probably too late for surgery or anything. He said, I've got to have hope. Friday, he went to the doctor. They took the blood test. Monday, they called him. They said, we don't know what's wrong, but your PSA is zero. Said, must have got the wrong blood. And he said, you did. It's the blood of Jesus. That's our God. That's our God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to pray over the meal. And then we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you can use such unlikely vessels as myself to really just try to share what you put on my heart. So, Father, we thank you. We ask you now as we dismiss that we'll go into dinner, that we'll have a good time of fellowship. And, Father, that you'll bless the hands that prepared the meal. And, Father, bless that food to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.